You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer.
Hey there, here's a quick note. This podcast contains general financial advice only. That means it's not specific to you, your needs, goals, or objectives, so don't act on the information until you've spoken with your financial advisor. You'll find our full disclosure, disclaimer, and link to our financial services guide in the show notes.
Kate Campbell, welcome to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast.
It is good to be back on.
Yes, it is indeed. We are talking about keeping a financial record, how to deal with all of the paperwork that you get, and everything that goes on behind the scenes after you buy a share or before you buy a share. Even if you don't do share market investing, how do you keep on top of all of the financial stuff? That's today's episode. We're going to give you some, tips and tricks on how you can keep a record of whether it's your will, whether it's your all the different bank accounts you have, how you can go about managing that and just keeping on top of it and managing the stress of it all, which is a big one for me at tax time. So, Kate, let's just dive right into it. Why?
Yeah, why? It's a big question, but why do we actually want to keep on top of our financial records and all of that paperwork and all of those documents? First things first, tax time. I want you to create a system so your life can be a lot easier at tax time. I've learned this the hard way because I've made my life very complicated in previous years when I was trialing lots of different things. I had no system in place. So we're going to give you a few suggestions today on making your life less painful for tax time, avoiding any mistakes that could be quite costly, because having a bad financial record keeping system could actually mean you forget to give your accountant something, or you forget to account for something when you do your tax return, which could come back to bite you down the track. Maximizing your refund and keeping your accounting bill down, or even just the time you spend doing your own taxes down.
Yeah, I like it. So taxes is a really important one. Death and taxes, which we've talked about before, are the two certainties in life. One of those things requires an accountant. An accountant, people just think like, oh, here's my box of receipts, or I don't even have a box of receipts. Here's just my bank statement, figure it out. If you do that, your accountant is going to charge you a lot of money. So unless you want to spend $200, $250 an hour, maybe more, paying the accountant to do that for you, keeping on top of it with some very simple tricks will save you a lot of money.
Yeah. The second reason why I think it's really important to keep your financial life simplified and up to date is for emergency, natural disaster situations where you don't have access to all those documents up front and you really need those numbers quickly. Maybe your ID details, your insurance numbers, having access to details of important things in your life, not just your investments, but all those other areas where you might not think about, but having access to your ID details remotely is really important as well. So I think that's an important reason to actually think about having a financial admin system in place.
It can be really simple. Like, where do you find the keys to the city, so to speak? So in an emergency, let's say, like, this is a big one for me as the sole director of the business. What happens? What contingencies do you have in place? So having some sort of record keeping will improve that, but also improve how you think about different things. So I like it. What about this one final reason to keep on top of your records?
Yeah, the final reason, and if you've listened to our recent podcast on wills and estates, this will probably ring familiar, but for illness and death. So when there's a situation where you can't physically or mentally manage your affairs while you're alive, or you pass away and you can't manage your affairs either, making that situation as simple and as streamlined as possible for your loved ones, so they're not having to call up a million places to track down different assets and different details to insurance companies and things like that. Having everything in one spot so that your executor or whoever's your power of attorney or your partner or whoever's going to make those decisions on your behalf can access everything as easily as possible. So making that as simple as possible. I've seen very many situations where they've spent years trying to track down different assets all over the place when it comes to wills and estates, and it made life very complicated, or just trying to find login details. So if you don't know that person has a Commonwealth Bank account and there's no paperwork or no trail and they can't access the email, they might not even know the money's there. So it will take a long time to track that down. So everything as simple as possible, having digital asset lists and things like that we'll talk about in this episode, but that is another reason why I think it's really important to have a solid financial record keeping system and having everything in a simple spot.
Yeah, if you think like, oh, I'm 25, I'm 35, I'm 45, I'm healthy, I'm fit, well, you know, people pass away at all ages and people get sick from the age of birth right through to death. So you don't want to be in hospital, sick, or caring even for a loved one and having to worry about your finances. So being on top of this, it can be very simple. It can be like, which we'll go through, you know, statement of assets, statement of liabilities, whatever. Just getting it all together, having some type of instruction, it just makes life easier. If you do have a will and you've appointed an executor and they know about it, so they're the people that kind of get everything together for you, let them know where this thing is that we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Because if they don't know, they're just going to be going in blind trying to figure out. Like we've had, so for example, we've had executors of people from our members who have died. And I've actually over the years fielded emails from them. They said, hi, I'm just looking for such and such as ComSec details. I'm the executor of the will. See attached. And I'm like, well, I don't have any of that stuff. But obviously, they didn't leave it to them. They didn't have something like this. So they're trying to figure out how to get into their share portfolio so they can then give that to their family or whatever. And they're like, well, we're trying to find all this information. Don't have anything on it. So keep that in mind. Like that happens.
Yeah. And when I spoke to David from State Trustees about wills the other week, he mentioned that the state of Victoria has a will bank. So it's a free service for Victorians that can store their wills in this central secure location. Mm-hmm. And so that when the time comes and the will is required, you can recall it from the will bank.
Perfect.
There's also a service when I had a look at their website where you can register the location of your will. So if it comes down to it and someone's trying to find the will, they can use this service to at least find out where the will's located, which solicitor is with. Maybe it's in your safe. How do you access that safe? So things like that. I hope he did mention that many other states would have a similar service. So it's worth looking into.
Yeah, cool. I like it. Okay, so what are some of the records that we would need to keep? Just thinking like, you know, if my finances are all over the place, what do I need to keep?
Yeah, so this is a lot broader than you probably would have thought about, but everything, I might just mention some so they sort of get into your brain of what type of records you want access to. And then potentially we'll talk about some different strategies to actually store some of these documents. So the first thing would be copies or photographs of key ID documents. So your passport, your driver's license. So you've got those details if for some reason, like you might even be overseas and you lose access to your documents. So you've got a copy that if you go to a consulate, you can take those copies with you and hopefully use them as a step towards proving your identity.
That's good. I always think about if I'm overseas, like I'm in some country that doesn't speak English and I'm like, I've lost my wallet. What do I do? Maybe if it's in my Google Drive or maybe if it's stored somewhere in my iCloud.
Yeah, because you might lose your phone Australian. As well. Yeah, if you lose your, like you might just have a photo on your phone, but if you lose your phone, so thinking about if you can have a Google Drive or a iCloud Drive where you can store these documents that you could log into this drive on another person's computer if you lose all of your electronics, and then you can access these documents as well.
Yeah, I like it. So when we talk about all these things, by the way, you want to make sure wherever it is, it's secure. So if you do put it somewhere, don't like have it somewhere in the ether where other people can access. Like don't have it as one of those Google Drive links where it's like can edit or can view and then just share that wildly. It's not going to end well. So IDs, got it. What's next?
Yeah. So the next one is wills and power of attorneys. So this is a really important document that you have. that someone actually needs to know where it is when it's required. So
these are multiple different things, right?
Yeah, multiple documents.
So the will is separate to the power of attorney, yep.
Yes.
And there can be multiple of those.
Yeah, so you'll want to keep this either in a fireproof safe that someone hopefully knows the code to mm-hmm. other than you. Maybe you give it to a trusted loved one to look after if they have a more secure location for it. I know many people keep it with their parents.
With the lawyer,
will bank, so different things like that. You can have that original copy stored somewhere safe.
Yeah. I got a copy of my will, but the will's actually at the law firm where we got the wills made up. Power of attorneys, we don't have any of those at the moment, but I did have one. And I took a digital copy of that and I just added it to a Google Drive. Like I was someone else's power of attorney while they were away. So it's a good one, really important document.
Yeah. Cool. The next one is insurance documents. So this could be everything from travel insurance while you're away, your life insurance, income protection, your health insurance, pet, home and contents. Mm-hmm. Having copies of all these details and those insurance policy numbers stored in a drive, because a lot of the times when you actually need the insurance, it's because something has gone wrong and you might not have access to all of the original paperwork. You might not have access to the emails, or someone else is having to deal with this on your behalf because you might be unwell, which is the reason the insurance is required. So having this located in a key place, or having a list of, it doesn't need to be all the private details, but just having a list of all the different insurance policies you have and the key numbers and which company the policy is with. Have the list printed out and give it to a trusted friend or family member that has a copy of this when it comes down to it. Because if you're in a situation where you can't physically manage all this yourself because something's gone wrong, the loved one can help deal with this on your behalf.
Yeah. And one thing that you can do is if you do have your super, your insurance through super, like your income protection, blah, 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 that's the next point, which is the super fund details. So your login information, your member number, have that somewhere safe, because you want to allow them to log in and to be able to make a claim, or you want them to be able to access your super and speak to the super fund. Because super funds, there's an extra layer of complexity when you have insurance inside super. There's a little bit more admin involved because the super fund has to go through all of the rigmarole of verifying who you are, who your executor is, or even who your loved one is. They're not just going to let anyone access that, right? So there's an extra layer of a headache there. So just keep that in mind if you do have insurance inside super like I do.
Yeah. And that's probably another thing, keeping records of where your super fund is held.
Mm.
Because if it does come, you do pass away and someone has to track down your superannuation, if they don't have access to your emails and they can't find any paperwork, it could be one of 100 different Australian super funds and they'd have to write to every single one. So just making it as easy as possible. It's not giving them your login details, but it's just, hey, I've got an insurance. This is my member number and I have a super fund with this particular company. Mm.
Yeah, sounds good. But MyGov too would be something that you can add into this list. I created MyGov using a very old email, which I don't access for anything else other than MyGov these days. So keep that in mind, you know, that might be your centralized hub for documents as well.
Yeah, I think that can be challenging because the MyGov has a phone verification number. And so if you can't access the mobile phone, potentially might be challenging to get into your MyGov account.
A lot of these have 2FA. A lot of them have two-factor authentication. A lot of my bank accounts do. You have to verify on the phone at the same time. And if your phone's only got Face ID, that's another headache. So keep that in mind. Basically, just picture yourself trying to figure out your own finances if you knew nothing about it. That's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
What about bank accounts?
Yeah. So having details of where you have bank accounts that have money in them.
Mm-hmm.
So the institutions, the account numbers, just so someone has something to go off if they do need to manage this on your behalf or deal with it. And a list of maybe any debit or credit cards you have active as well. So that makes it life a lot easier. Or if you lose access to everything because you're overseas and something happens, you can get in touch with your bank and prove your identity and maybe get access again, or somehow your account, there's fraudulent activity happening. You want to have all those account details as well.
Yep. I like it.
Because we get used to the habit of having everything saved in a keychain on our laptop and we never have to fill in any of these account details. And so if something happens and you have to access it through another computer, you need to have the account details.
Yeah. Google Password Manager does it for me. People might say, oh, it's not that secure or whatever. Google Password Manager, if you can get in there, that's the key. That's what you need.
Keys to taking over Owen's life.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we talk a lot about investing. People may have micro accounts. They might have brokerage accounts with multiple providers. You know, that's another key consideration, right?
Yeah. So in this, I'm talking about it in two ways. So I'm going to talk about investments in terms of making life simple at tax time. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to talk about in terms of helping someone else track down all of your assets. So in terms of having a clear list of your assets so someone can either manage it on your behalf or after you pass away, they can the executor can deal with it. I think it's really important to create an asset register. So a list of all the different, I've got $1,000 in this RAISE account. Here's my account number. I've got $1,000 in this CBA brokerage account. Here's my account number. You don't even need to have the values. Just who do you have all of this money with that you've invested all over the place? And even your account number or a username or just some sort of ID that can be linked with it. So have a clear list that maybe you give to the person that has your will, maybe you give it to someone else that they can go off so they know where everything is. And it just makes that search a little bit easier.
I like it. Yeah. I'm picturing like a PDF or some type of document which you can have access to that kind of lists everything. This is a really popular thing to have. When you speak to a financial planner, there's typically like two, if you could think about it, like two different documents. One's like, here's your personal balance sheet, basically, like the liabilities and the assets, and here's where they are and what they are.
Mm.
And then the other document that we have is an investment policy statement, or an IPS is what it's called. This is like where you write down how you're going to invest, why you invest, and do all that sort of stuff. But both of them are equally important. Sometimes they're combined. So sometimes you might have all of the assets as well as the strategy that was followed as a good record. So record keeping, super important here, especially when it comes to tax time for investing as well. Like so many headaches.
Yeah. So having this list that you update maybe every 6 or 12 months because things change, just printing it out, you don't need any dollar values. And so you can give it to a loved one and they don't necessarily know how much money you have. So it adds that layer. But also keeping details of all your managed funds, your micro investing apps, your brokerage accounts, crowdfunding, whatever you invest in, you're probably going to have to pay tax on it at some point, whether income tax or capital gains tax. So you want to keep records of your transaction histories. You want to keep details of any income you receive that might be a dividend, a distribution, some other income payment. You want to keep at records of the tax statements. So the way I do this is you can set up folders in your Google Drive or whichever system you use. I break it down by financial year. So I'll have the FY21-22 folder that I'll click into, and then I'll break it down by the account and so have everything saved there.
That's cool.
And just make sure you label the files because often they'll download from the provider with a really weird sequence of numbers and letters, and it's really hard to track down if you're searching for that particular file. So have it all in folders and labeled.
Yeah, I like it. Great stuff.
And that makes it easier for your accountant as well because they go, I'm looking for this specific item and I can go through the folders to find it. And you can, with Google Drive and iCloud, you can share specific folders with people. So I can then share this year's tax folder with all the subfolders with my accountant, and he can just go through and pick out what he needs.
Yeah, I like it. That's great. I used to do that with a spreadsheet. I took it one step further and I would actually do the spreadsheet for them. So I've got like all the fuel costs, all this based on the receipts that are in this separate folder.
Yeah. And folders for receipts as well, or any deductions you want to claim. And if you can save them during the year or have a quarterly day where you go through and sort out all this admin. And the way I make that easier as well is by having a folder in all of my inboxes that's tax or finances. Maybe you want to separate it even into subfolders, but anytime you get a document during the year that says, oh, you've got a dividend or here's a tax statement, I drag it straight. Oh, even you made a donation. Drag that all into that folder. So then you can go through and check everything off as well. So you don't miss anything.
I like it. It's good advice. The key there is just once you have a system, no matter how simple it might be, once you have a system and you know the system, that's half the battle. Then it's just maintaining it. And a little bit here and there, just check in regularly. I like it. A lot of people do have properties, Kate. So what kinds of things should people be storing about their property and how?
Yeah, so probably all of the key details for the body corporate, the title, if you have the title, or where the title's held. Sometimes you can download the documents with the property history, body corporate notes, things like that. Maybe details for all the key providers you use. So if there's a particular plumber, so you've got this all in one spot so you can access it more easily next time instead of trying to like search through your emails and go, who was that person I used again?
And you would have got a lot of these, not the plumbing and service providers, but you would have got a lot of the details of the property when you bought the house. They probably would have emailed you a contract of sale, the property, you know, title, or just like an extract, and different things. In Victoria, we have something called a Section 32, which is like a big document that lays out like overlay and easements and that sort of stuff on the land. So you can store all of that as well.
Yeah. So keep copies of all of that. If you have any mortgage details, keep copies of that. Even rates notice and things from the council or bills, you can keep in folders as well. So you've got all of those details. If you need to remotely deal with your energy provider or something like that, you've got everything in one spot.
Bang.
Bang. Bang. So you can do the same thing that, well, I've just copied my same tax time system for the house. So now I have folders in my emails that are just called house. And I've got folders in my drive called house as well. Yep. So keeping it really simple, just copying a system that already works for me with the folders and the folders in the email and the folders in the Google Drive, and just using the same system. So I keep everything in one space, because while going through the purchase process, there's a lot of different documents coming at you and I didn't know potentially what I'll need down the track. So I just kept copies of everything, made sure it was labeled. And if I never use it again, that's great. But if I need it, I know where to find it.
I think your system is just really simple. Just having an email address that you do all these things with, like all of your finances, and then you just drag it and drop it straight into the folder. And then you've got the file. You can put that in Google Drive as well. I think that's, just a question on this. So, you know, when you say like, you get like, I don't know, you get some sort of document emailed to you as a PDF and you're like, okay, that should go in the house folder. And you drag that across into like your subfolder in Gmail or whatever you use. Does that file automatically get added to your Google Drive? Is there a way to do that, I wonder?
Not that I know of.
I feel like that would be
kind
super
of double handled it by so putting it in there and then also saving the document.
So you would download the document and then drag it and drop it into your Google Drive.
If it's an important document, yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. I wonder if there's someone out there that knows this, the answer to this question. I wonder if there's a way to link your Google Drive to a subfolder in Gmail.
During the cool. For my tax related stuff, I don't save everything immediately, so I'll put it in that folder until it comes to the time where I want to go through the last 30 emails and save everything in folders.
I like it. So this next one, which is actually there's one before that, we'll go this one first of all, is a lot of us have debt, Kate. So what are the types of debts and how maybe should we think about like managing this?
Yeah, I think when it comes to keeping that digital asset register, you also have a debt register. So if you have a few different accounts, whether it's buy now, pay laters or payday loans, even hex debt, mortgages, just keeping a list of all of this so that if you need to access it remotely, you've got all of those key details. If someone else has to manage this on your behalf, they've got all of the details there as well.
Yep.
And then that is also a handy tool to have if you do need to speak to a financial counselor. They said it's a lot easier if you go with a list of, here's all of the debts I have, this is the amount, this is the provider, this is the account number, and it's a lot easier for them to deal with it on your behalf.
And they'll be able to see it and just be like, these are the things that matter, these are the things that aren't.
Yeah.
We'll kind of consolidate this or we'll do something with that. Yeah, so great.
There's probably multiple uses to writing this down. And also if you're coming up with a plan to paying off the debt, having it all listed out is a good starting point.
Yeah, can be revealing, but it's good. The next one, which is the one that I was going to mention just a minute ago, is actually really important, particularly for older folks that might use a financial advisor or you might rely on your accountant to structure things in a certain way. Just putting down the name of the advisor, the accountant, et cetera, will be super powerful for your next of kin. So if you're 45, 50, and you're thinking, you know, I've got a pretty substantial amount of assets here, maybe $1 million, I don't know if my children will be able to manage this. Just speaking with your accountant or speaking with preferably your financial advisor and saying, how can I manage this and how can I put it, make it simple for my next of kin? Because we actually, in the office here, we've got Waddle Partners, and they deal with a lot of older clients. And sometimes those older clients get sick. Like one of them had a fall the other day, ended up in hospital. And it actually turned out that one of the advisors here was the next of kin on the list. So they had to deal with everything from power of attorney, all of that sort of stuff. But if a family wanted to have something to say as well, they need to have contact details and information with the financial advisor, know where they are, who they are, and what role they serve. I think that's really important.
Yeah, making it easy for yourself if you are overseas and you need to get in contact, or a loved one to get in contact with them, as easy as possible, especially if they have they're managing some of your assets.
Yeah, accountants will always be handy, just keeping a list of those, because then you're typically, like, if you have weird structures, or you have, even if you need to file a tax return if you're sick or something like that, knowing the accountant, just even the email address, will make it so much easier for your family to get in contact with them.
Yeah, especially for that, giving those details to your power of attorney or your next of kin. So if you are unable to manage something because you're sick or something like that happened, they can get in touch with all these people and keep your finances running ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably also links to the next one of telling your power of attorney about your investment plan. So if you are still alive, you just might not be able to manage your finances for 6 or 12 months because something has happened, or an extended period of time. Letting your power of attorney know, this is all my investments, and this is how they're structured, and this is why they're doing what they're doing, just so they've got something to go off, because they might not have ever invested themselves before. They might not understand anything about finance. And so if you're just like, oh, manage this, you're my power of attorney, it can be very confronting, and how are they going to manage that? So just having a clear plan laid out and where everything is and what the goal is there, it might give them a base to go off.
Yeah, good point. So this can happen. For example, let's say you're like, to hell with this, I'm going to go live in Europe for 6 months. You can actually give your loved one or professional partner, like accountant or financial advisor, you can give them the authority to act on your behalf while you're away. It's called a power of attorney. And I've done this for people before where they went away and I needed to act in that capacity. So it's a big lengthy document. But fortunately, those people didn't have investment strategies set up and whatever. But had they had that, I would have been able to be, okay, they're going to invest in this ETF, or this is where they want the dividends reinvested, or this is their accountant and this is how they manage tax. Knowing those things would have been very helpful. So I'm actually going to take this one on board. If I ever do that again, I'm going to say, well, first of all, how do you invest? What's your situation? I need to know, because I've got to act in your interest while you're away.
Yeah. And it's a fantastic tool to have just for yourself, having that investment plan. We've talked about the importance of writing down your investment plan and why you chose to invest in this share or this ETF. But having just an overall financial plan is a really good way to sort of lay out your thinking and map out what's the go for the next 1, 3, 5, 10 years.
I like it. Kate, we've got a couple more things that we want to tack on the end here and kind of help people with pretty quickly. How do we keep track of everything? Like, can you give us some like quick fire strategies? How do I actually take all of this stuff that we just talked about, there's a lot, and make it simpler? Like, how do I bring that back to reality and make it kind of like easy for me?
Yep. So copies of all these documents could and probably should be stored in a remote drive like Google Drive, Dropbox, or iCloud that you can access or someone else can access remotely. It's not tied to one specific computer or phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in a circumstance where you lose these items or something goes wrong, or your house is damaged, you want to be able to access this from someone else's device. So that's probably my first thing. You can scan, you can save, you can whatever you want. And you can give other people access to these folders. So if for some reason you're not able to access it, potentially your power of attorney or next of kin already has access via their email address to all these documents, which is super important because most people don't know each other's passwords, but you can share this without sharing everything in your passwords.
Yeah, you can share like view-only access. So where they can download and they can view things, but they can't edit things. So the second one was one that we've just covered, which is set up a
email folders in your inbox. Just make it super easy. Drag those things straight away so that when it comes time that you're ready and in the right headspace to deal with it, you can go through that folder and everything's there rather than going for a million and one emails, because we all get inundated with emails these days.
A lot of our members actually set up email addresses just for their investing. I know this because I see the emails come through and it might be like joe46investing@gmail. Some variation of that. And it's like, they have an email address, but it's just for their money and just for their finances, which is another way to kind of declutter and just make it simple. Like, you can get a Google email or Gmail for free, and it comes with Google Drive Space as well for free. So you can just whack it all in there.
Yeah. Another tool for investors is ShareSite. So that's a portfolio management tool. So you can add your holdings, your shares, your ETFs to this online portfolio management tool, and you can track everything in one spot, which is good to, it prompts you when you should have received a dividend. So that's quite good when you're going through your tax return to make sure you've accounted for everything and you don't miss out anything, because not everything gets directly sent through to the ATO when you're doing your MyGov tax returns. So you want to make sure you don't miss any dividends or capital gains tax you should be paying, because that might come bite you down the track.
Yep, I like it. So that's ShareSite. I just checked the website as of August 2022. It is free for up to 10 holdings. So if you have less than 10 ETFs or 10 shares, it's free to set up and it can be linked to most broker accounts.
Yeah, and they have tax reporting features as well, which has been very handy for me using with my accountant.
For sure. Next one is more of a hack on yourself, Kate.
Yes, so if you feel willing, putting in a monthly personal admin meeting with yourself. Maybe you take your computer to the cafe and just smash through everything in an hour, deal with those emails in the folders, deal with keeping records of the documents, deal with your taxes, everything like that. Maybe you have to email your accountant. You do that, just block it out in your calendar on a monthly or a quarterly basis.
Yeah.
The longer you leave it, the worse and the bigger the task gets.
Yeah. Just quickly, just recapping back on ShareSite, I just noticed something on their website. You can sync it automatically with Xero. So if you're, if your accountant does all of your tax in Xero, they'll be able to get all of the dividends, all that sort of stuff flowing through, which is fantastic. The next one, Kate, which is, I know, something you've covered recently, is just the legal documents. So the important things like powers of attorney, wills, all that sort of stuff.
Yep. Keeping it in a safe, keeping it with a solicitor, keeping it with the government will bank, just, and making sure someone knows where it is that's not you. And if it's a safe, someone else should know the code. So just making it, making sure that someone knows where that original verified will is kept.
Yeah. I got a fireproof safe from Officeworks. I think it was $99. Pretty good investment. Only problem is, I think it needs batteries, and I don't often know how long the batteries have left. So,
right.
Anyway.
And even making sure you air those safes out every couple of months, it's good to open the door for a few hours because it gets a bit stale and musty in there.
Yeah, right. I haven't thought about that.
Good tip.
Good tip. We need one of those little things that go in there. Keep it fresh. Okay. So, and the final thing is very simple, but very important.
Yep.
Anyone can do this.
Writing down all of your assets, where they're located, and maybe an account number or a member number from your super to your brokerage account to that weird crowdfunding thing you purchased, having a list of everything in one spot. It doesn't need a dollar value. Having a list of any debts, having a list of any properties you own, any digital assets you own, just having all of this in one spot, printing out that list, giving it to a trusted friend or family member, and doing an update every 6 or 12 months so that it just makes it easier. If something does go wrong, someone knows where everything is.
Yep. I'm imagining, like, I would have a Google spreadsheet for this. I'd have like what it is. I'd have username, maybe the password, and what email address or whatever secret question is linked to, so people know how to access it.
Yeah. Well, you need to make sure to share that Google Sheet with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. That's
before
the next step.
Before something happens. So.
Yeah, you'll find it in my Google Sheets.
Yeah. No one, there's no point creating this if no one actually has access to it. So.
Yeah.
Make sure someone does.
Yep.
And it's not that personal if you don't put any dollar figures or you don't put your password. It's just a list of I have super with Host Plus, and this is my number.
Yep. Like it. Okay, Kate. We've talked about this a bit before. Share registries. This is the stuff that happens once you buy a share on ETF. You start getting all this paperwork. They handle a lot of stuff on the back end. Give us the 3-minute version of share registries and what I should be doing.
Yes. So this is probably for investors that are listening, the one that's causing them the most admin havoc, because they're suddenly, they start investing and they're receiving all of this mail. They're receiving mail from the ASX saying you've made this purchase of this ETF. They're receiving mail from the ETF provider saying set up your account with Computershare or Link Market Services. They're also receiving mail saying, hey, you've got a dividend. So share registries are what a company that's listed or an ETF that's listed use to manage all the admin that they don't want to do because it's very time consuming, and share registries have systems to deal with everything. So When you buy something, you want to set up your account with the appropriate share registry. It's probably Link or Computershare. Mm-hmm. If you go to the ASX website and scroll down, when you search the company or the ticker code, you can find out what registry it is. There are a few other smaller registries if you buy something that's a bit smaller.
Yeah. Some small cap companies, for example, or some weird ETFs use different registries. But for the most part, you'll see Link, you'll see Computershare, you'll see Boardroom.
They have a monopoly over the market, really. Yeah. But they know what they're doing. So you're going to be using your share registry to update your dividend preferences. Do you want it paid to your bank account? Do you want it reinvested? You can choose this. You can change your bank account details. Mm-hmm. You can also put your tax file number in and make sure you declare everything there, because if you're not an Australian resident citizen, there's some different tax things. Anyway, I won't get into that. Mm-hmm. You can also choose preferences for the company's annual report. Do you want that posted? Do you want that emailed? I would not recommend getting it posted. Usually quite a big document, killing a few trees there. Mm-hmm. And even what else can you change? You can choose to vote. So instead of getting sent all the details for voting in the mail, you can vote for company things when it comes to their AGM. Through the share registry.
Yeah. And so that will also list like your holder identification number, your shareholder reference number, all that stuff will be listed with the share registry, which you can then use to vote at AGMs if you want to vote live. Sometimes companies will have like a web portal that you can log into, and while they're making their presentation, you can vote on the matter. So keep that in mind too. One of the big gripes that people have and have had for many years, and this is now changing, thankfully, Kate, is that they get a lot of paperwork. They just wish they could receive it via email. Is that still a thing?
Yeah. So in your share registry, you can change to electronic communication preferences. Good. So all these things to do with annual reports and dividends will come through via email. Mm-hmm. I would highly suggest doing that. Otherwise, you can end up with a lot of letters in the post. Also, you get mail when you make a purchase or a sale of a share or an ETF. And typically, that has been a paper-based thing. We have no way to turn that particular thing off. But some of the brokers are slowly changing that. There's been this huge project with the ASX in trying to digitize a lot of things. So that's slowly changing. So keep an eye on your broker if they let you change this.
Yep. Perla put out an announcement for all of those that use Perla. You can go into your account and you can select emails. Some of the brokers are getting on board, but not all of them are there yet. Save the trees, save yourself the hassle, more like it. And especially if you've got, if you've moved house and your shareholder information is going to a different address where other people might collect it, just get it sent to your email address. So much easier.
Yeah. And certain things like share purchase plans are time sensitive. So you want to get that via email if that's something you want to participate in.
Yep. I like it. Kate, that's a lot.
Yes. There is a lot there. And the question, do we even want to talk about keeping the paper statements or not?
Well, yeah, do we want to keep the paper statements? I know a lot of people that are investors, they get all the paper and then just either stack it up or throw it out. What do you do?
I stack it up for a while and then I shred it and throw it out. It does have some sensitive details like your holder identification number. So making sure you've just got copies of that, elect to receive them via email. If it mm-hmm. is something important you've got via paper, you can easily just take a photo on your phone and upload it to that Google Drive as well. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it, doesn't really need to be kept.
Yeah, a lot of it is just telling you to go to the share registry to update your information. So just go and do that, and hopefully you can do it once for your shareholding, and then you don't have to worry about it again. I just throw a lot of mine out, to be honest. I probably shouldn't, but
you should probably shred it.
I should probably shred it or set fire to it or do something. But so just to recap, it's important to keep a hold of what your financial picture is and all the documents you receive, because it makes tax time easier. In the event of an emergency, people know where to go. You know where to go. If you were to get sick, which happens a lot, or if unfortunately you were to die, people know where to find things. If you have an executor of your will, if you've taken that step, let them know where this stuff is. If you don't and you just want to just tell your family where your stuff is, let them know. Send them one big email to say, you will be able to click this link to go to this Google Drive, or you will see this spreadsheet. This is what I'm going to keep updated. Just do something. You can keep records for your ID, for your wills, for your bank accounts, super insurance, which is really important, very important for travel insurance and those types of things, your property information, debts, contact information of your advisors and your plumbers and your accountants. Have an investment plan. We've got, for members, you can go into the RASP website and you can access a DIY investment guide. And then some of the tools you can use, Kate outlined them very simply. We've got like cloud-based storage, Dropbox, Drive, iCloud, Microsoft, whatever you use. Kate's idea of segmenting emails and just drag and drop, super easy. Share site is free for up to 10 holdings. You can do a monthly check-in with yourself. Legal docs, store it in a safe, print off your asset list, give it to your family. And please, please, please use your share registry appropriately and send, get it all set up for email preferences. That's the list.
Yeah.
That's what we went through. That's a lot.
It might take a few hours or a few days if you've never done any of this before, but once it's sorted, it's only more of a maintaining thing rather than having to go and sort this all again. Once you've set up your registries, they're set up.
Yep. So if you are a bit stuck and you want some actual cold hard steps to follow, you'll be able to find more information. Kate's done a share registry guide. I think it's available on Rask Media now. There's a lot of information in there on how to deal with a share registry, set up a DRP, a dividend reinvestment plan, if you want your dividends and your distributions reinvested. We've also done podcasts on this in the past, which we'll link to. And if you're just getting off the ground and you're thinking, all of this stuff's a lot to take in, go and take the Rask Road Trip free courses on Rask Education, 6 modules all linked together, solving a lot of your questions and problems in your financial life. It's all free. By Kate, myself, Tash, the team here. So much fun putting those courses together. So go and check them out. That's a lot, Kate. I feel tired after all this admin talk.
Yeah, I think it's, if you've got through this, well done. And your next step is to just write one thing that you're going to do after listening to this episode or put an hour in your calendar to deal with this on the weekend.
Yeah, I actually find it really fun to do all of my assets and liabilities in a spreadsheet. It sounds geeky. What a finance thing to say.
Oh, your net worth calculations?
I don't necessarily do. I'm not big on the net worth calculations, but what I am is just like having like a table that shows me like, where's my stuff? You know, just like, what's this thing over here? What's this thing that I signed up for ages ago? Just knowing that is, it's actually kind of cool because then I can be like, hey, hold on a second. That thing which I wanted to invest in, I'm not investing enough in that thing, or like, I've got this debt here. Well, I should be getting rid of this. It makes sense. Like sometimes you just need to see it to actually understand it. So it's actually good to check in.
Yeah. Good time to update your investment plan as well if anything's changed.
Yeah. I like it, Kate. This is a huge episode, really important for a lot of people dealing with the paperwork, which we all have. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast, where our mission is to improve the financial futures of all Australians. If you'd like to learn more, create a free account at rask.com.au/account to download free episode workbooks, bonus resources, and take our amazing free personal finance courses.
You can also join our online community by following the link in the description. If you enjoyed the show, what we'd love is for you to leave us a snappy review on iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rask Australia. Kate and I are also on both of those channels. Finally, if you have any feedback, suggestions for episodes or guests to come on the show, or you just have a question for us, shoot us an email at podcast@rask.com.au. InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10, and to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs. This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that Rask could help you in 2024. As many of you know, Rask has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies. Which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at Rask, which is the launch of our Rask Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have three strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the three strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high-growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high-growth strategy focuses on longer-term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number two, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside Rask Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called Rask Core. Number three, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already over 200 Rask community members have begun the Rask plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number four, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if. You want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that. But one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian property podcast by Rask, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of Rask Core, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax. I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All Rask users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the Rask community uses each and every day. Number eight,
Want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator Program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number 9, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the RASK YouTube channel. It is completely free and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the RASK network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the RASK Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we're on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. RASK Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the, probably I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is, or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the RASK Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000 and hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support RASK and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the RASK network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.